Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What If You Just Imagine, the show that keeps your imagination and dreams soaring. He's a radio talk show host, author of the popular book A Pocketful of Prayers, A Heartful of Hope, and a faith-based intuitive. For over 20 years, Mary has shared her intuitive angelic guidance with clients from all over the world and from all walks of life. Mary's clients have called her the Soul Whisperer, as she has the gift to ignite passion and create results from hearing the voice within their soul. Mary's goal is simple: to make your life better than it was the day before. Mary is the founder of Global Healing Solutions.
Welcome to What If You Just Imagine, the radio show that keeps your dreams soaring. And today I'm so excited to have a dear friend with me, Diane Vitanza, owner of Vince Jewelry. Diane started her career as a jeweler since she began working in her dad, Vincent Vitanza's jewelry store as a young girl. And Diane learned the business from the inside out. And Diane continues to maintain that reputation of excellence, honesty, and quality jewelry all these years later. I grew up with Diane in a little town in North Brunswick, New Jersey. And Diane and I started out selling jewelry to jewelry stores. So a little history on Diane and I. And I won't go back, Diane, how many years that is, but I'm sure you remember the days when we had to learn how to get ourselves out of a trunk of a car just in case we were robbed. And I might say Diane and I were excellent at it. But let me introduce you to Diane. And today we're talking about how to find the right jeweler using the internet. Diane, welcome to What If You Just Imagine.
Hi, Mary. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for having me. Yes, I'm glad to have you, because now with the COVID virus going on all over the country, so many jewelry stores are closed, and so many people, as you know, are looking for alternative ways to buy jewelry safely and securely online. I've known we've had a lot of online jewelers for quite some time, but the people really don't know who they can trust, what to look for. I know you have been around a long time, and you have thousands of loyal customers, Diane, from all over the country and Canada. And one of the unique things about Diane to our listeners is that Diane had a mobile jewelry store where Diane would travel all over the country selling jewelry at craft shows and horse shows and various fairs. So Diane comes to us with a lot of history and a lot of integrity and a lot of being able to talk to us about jewelry, how to buy it safely, what to look for. So, Diane, I'm going to turn this over to you. So give us some idea if you were, one thing we can say, if you want to buy great jewelry at a great price and know you're safe, it's definitely vinsjewelry.com. But give us some pointers. So I turn this over to you.
Well, you mentioned a lot of stores closing down. Here in Washington, anyway, where I live now, there's quite a few stores that have closed down permanently, not just during the pandemic, mine being one of them. We had a store. You know, as you mentioned, I grew up in this business, and my dad's store started there when I was 13. And, you know, we're not going to say how many years ago that was, but he had fine jewelry over the years, everything. When I, as an adult, I kind of came and went from the jewelry business. It's in my blood. It runs through my veins, so I always end up going back to it. We had a store. My husband, John, and I had a store on the California coast, and it wasn't a high-end jewelry store. It was a tourist town, so we geared our lines, our product, to tourists. And, we had, it wasn't junk. We had high-end fashion jewelry, that kind of stuff. But I didn't sell engagement rings. I had diamond pendants, but I didn't sell engagement rings or anything like that. It just wasn't a market for it in that area. And when my store closed down there a couple of years ago, we decided we would go back on the road. We actually have a 25-foot cargo trailer that we turned into a mobile jewelry store. And we cater, I did lots of engraving, and we cater to the equestrian gang, if you will, engraving halter plates and doing leather bracelets and things like that with names on and stuff. So we did a lot of horse shows across California, Washington, Oregon, Arizona. We did lots of fairs and trade shows. And we love to travel, so it just was a perfect fit for us. We decided, once we closed the store in California, we decided no more brick and mortar. We're just going to go on the road and work our own schedule and our own shows when and where we want. So we got to travel that way until the pandemic struck. And so now I've never really had a website before, because I always brought my jewelry to my customers. And people would come to the shows year after year and look for us. But now we have a website, because we can't, all my shows were canceled. So, you know, we've got to try and reach our customers, our base and new customers, hopefully through our website. One thing about the internet, I think you have to be really, really careful and know who you're dealing with. As I'm sure you're aware, Mary, through your sites, you have to be honest with people and give them a good quality at a good price, and they'll come back. But they need to get to know you, and you can't just go buy a diamond ring, for example, or anything, even a gold chain from any old website. And I find, I watch things on places like Etsy and eBay and that, and I find that there's a lot of people out there that are just giving you bogus information, and they're advertising things that when you read the fine print, it's not at all what the headlines say. And then on the other hand, there's very reputable websites, but you have to know them. You really have to know them. And if, you know, you had a jeweler that you've been dealing with, you know, a mom-and-pop store, whatever, over the years, and they've closed now because of this awful COVID-19, and they have a website, at least you know them, and you know you can trust them. And I think one thing that's very important before you buy something, especially if it's a sizable investment, that you get references. And you talk to people that have dealt with them, or people that you know that, or get, you know, talk to people that you know for recommendations, and you get good references that way. And even if you don't know the person that you're dealing with personally, at least you've got a good referral. And that's the best advice I can give anybody if they're going to buy jewelry on the internet, is to make sure you have references and get referrals.
Oh, referrals are so important. Do you have people on your website that gave testimonies, so people can contact them or email them, or do you have any video? I'm understanding, Dee, that the owners of some of these online jewelry sites are now putting a video on, and they're introducing themselves, and they're letting people see who they are, tell their story, so they're not just reading it. I have to say, even though I have a jewelry site, I'm more selling diamonds, I have been reluctant to put a video on. So I haven't done it, but I think what's so important is to tell your story as you have on your site. Your story is compelling. It gives a history of how long you've been in this business, why it's important to you, and most of all, I think what jumps out for me is how important it is for you to get the repeat customer. And by doing that, you have to have integrity, you have to be honest, and you have to sell not just jewelry, but craftsmanship, service. This is what brings the people back. And this is what has been bringing people back to you for years. I mean, you said when I go out to the shows, the equestrian shows, the big state fairs that you do, people actually seek you out. That right there is one of the best selling points that anybody can have when people are looking for you. One of the things that I really love is on Vin's Jewelry, Dee, and you can talk to us a little bit about this, is the idea of buying chain by the inch. You know, so many times these chains that I buy from my suppliers, they come in certain sizes, 15, 16, 18, 20, 22, and the people don't like the round clasp on it. They either want a lobster claw on it or it doesn't hang. Some women, you know, they want it 19 inches, and they, you know, if they're bigger busted, they need a different length. And the quality of what you're selling and the idea that someone can go on vinsjewelry.com and order a chain to a specific length is unique. And we need that. I think that's wonderful. And you being a jeweler, you can have a cut and put the kind of clasp on that they want. Talk to us about how did you get involved with chain by the inch?
You know, that was all John. That was his idea. He wanted to do it. I was actually against it at first. And because I'm like, oh, I have to sit there and make stuff all day long. And I want to talk to the people and tell them, educate them about my pieces and my jewelry. It turned out to be a fantastic idea. And I'm so grateful that he talked me into it, because we started doing it, oh, gosh, I guess 2 or 3 years ago, and it's been a huge hit and the bulk of my business at the shows. And people love it. We have literally hundreds of different styles all on spools and stuff, and they come and they can touch it and feel it, and they can try it around their neck or their wrist or wherever. And then once they decide on what style they want, we measure them and get it exactly where they want it to land. And if that happens to be 21 and a quarter, then that's what I make it, 21 and a quarter. It's going to be perfect. Every time, if they're putting a pendant on it, it's going to land exactly where they want it to land. Same with an ankle bracelet, a wrist bracelet. I make earrings out of chain, you name it. And it's just 100% custom in so many different styles, and it's popular. They love it. And people break chains all the time, and we have less than 1% return rate, and it's usually for a broken clasp. And as you know, Mary, like a lobster clasp, they have springs in them. And even if the clasp itself is 14 karat gold, the spring inside is just metal. It's not 14 karat. And they wear out in time, just like almost anything. It wears out in time. And that's the most common reason for returns. And in 3 years, we've had less than 1% return rate on our chains, or any of my jewelry for that matter. But the one thing that I didn't mention before that I think is really important is educating your customer. I spend, you know, a lot of time talking to my customers, and even if I know they're not going to buy, somebody walks up to my booth at a show and they tell me right off the bat, I'm not buying anything today, whatever. If you want to know something about pearls, I'm going to tell you everything I know about pearls. And maybe you'll buy a pearl from me, maybe you won't, but I think it's extremely important. I have customers that thank me constantly for enlightening them and telling, you know, they buy, and even when I have my store, people come in and ask me, especially with pearls, ask me what they were worth or to appraise them or whatever. And I start telling them, you know, how do you take care of it? How do you store it? And no one has ever told, they can buy a $5,000 strand of Mikimoto pearls, and no one ever told them how to take care of it or how to store it. And I think that kind of thing is very important, whether you bought it from me or not, or whether you're going to buy from me or not. I just think it's a critical part of selling jewelry is to educate the customer.
I know. I know you have you're certified in pearls from the GIA, Gemological Institute of America, and you know all there is to know about pearls. One of the things was unique that I always loved that you did at the shows, I think, didn't you have oysters where people would pick out an oyster and they got to open it up and there was a pearl in it? And then you would check
the
pearl.
Oh, yeah. We did that for fun. We just did it for kicks at one show one time, and it ended up to be just a huge hit, and people stood in line and waited to pick their oyster. And it was kind of, you know, it was a little gimmicky, but it was so much fun. And that's the other thing. Well, my daughter-in-law is from Tokyo, so we kind of had an in with pearls from Japan. And that's kind of how we got started with that, with the oysters, buying them off the pearl farms and importing them. I had to get a fish and wildlife permit and everything to import the oysters. And I said, but they're dead already. And they said it didn't matter. It was considered a live animal, so I had to get a permit for that. But it was great. It was a lot of fun to do that.
That is so interesting, how to get a permit and all the things that you had to go through. What's interesting is this education piece. You know, people had fun doing that. And buying jewelry should be also a fun experience. You know, it's something happy. It's something that people enjoy what they're doing. And we need some enjoyment right now. You mentioned about the chain by the inch laying right where they need it to lay. Seeing that they can't come into a jewelry store, to your jewelry store, how does that happen when someone goes to vincejewelry.com and wants to buy chain? How do you know what length?
Well, I have instructions on there on how to measure yourself. And all they need is a piece of string and to put it around their neck or their wrist or wherever they're buying the chain for, and put it exactly where you want it to lay, and then measure the string and tell me how long it is. And don't add for a clasp, because different chains require different clasps and they're different sizes, you know, a lot, whether it's a lobster clasp or a fold over clasp, depending on the style of chain, a lot of times depends on the clasp. So I just tell them, just tell me in inches where you want it to land. If it's an odd, you know, a quarter inch, a half inch, that's okay too. Just tell me how many inches, and I'll make adjustments for whatever clasp I'm putting on so that it remains that exact length. So
that's a beautiful way of doing that, and that gives people confidence. And also, you just educated people now about how we can do this safely online, dealing with a jeweler that knows what they're doing. When you were at the shows, the equestrian shows, I imagine you met a lot of interesting people at some of these horse shows that have these very expensive horses and that were buying jewelry from you. Does any stories stand out about that time?
It depends on the type of equestrian show. Like if it was a dressage show or a hunter jumper show, they bought differently than the Western shows. You know, if it was a barrel racing show or a roping show or a cutting horse show, they buy big chunky turquoise things and stuff like that. Whereas the hunter jumpers and the dressage people, mostly women, the Western shows you find men, but in the dressage and the hunters, it's mostly women and girls. And they buy more delicate pieces of jewelry you know, like for them, I have a diamond horseshoe pendant or a pendant of a horse or a bracelet with horses on it. And one thing that was super popular with the younger generation of riders in both English and Western was leather bracelets. And you have a saddle plate that they put on their saddles. And I engraved their name on the saddle plates and halter plates. You put the horse's name. We did that. But the young girls really, really loved the leather bracelets. They were made of Amish leather. And I would engrave the saddle plate and put it on with rivets on the bracelet. And they used to just fly out the door at an equestrian show. And
wow.
A lot of times, you know, you can, what's that?
I said the old-fashioned jeweler where you can go into a store and have something engraved right there while you wait. And
yeah, well, I had the engraving equipment. I had it in my trailer, in the trailer that we turned into a store. We would just pull up and park right outside the arena, right next to the outdoor arena. And they would put the ramp down, and they'd come inside. And I have my jewelry showcases from my store in there and everything. It's a bona fide jewelry store on wheels.
And now
hopefully,
it's online.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be on wheels again if, you know, when there's a vaccine or whatever and we can get back to work.
Well, that
because,
will happen.
You know, like
it
I
has
said,
to
we,
happen.
Oh, of course, yeah. I'm fortunate in that I have that option, you know, whereas I my heart goes out to other retailers, not only jewelers, but any retail shop that wasn't able to reopen their brick and mortar store. I feel really bad for all those smaller shops like us that, you know, not the big box stores, but, you know, the mom and pop stores that are being put out of business because of this. And
we know people have got to get creative, but you and John have been creative for the last 20 years or more in the things you have done and things you have created. And I think hearing you talk about how important honesty is and education is and quality jewelry, it comes through in what you were just talking to us about. And you've also, as I have been, involved in some very high-end sales. And if I can just ask you for a moment, you know, listeners, that Diane used to be one of the first women yacht brokers in the U.S. Actually, Diane was selling yachts and jewelry that goes with the yacht brokers when they would buy yacht buyers when they would buy their yacht. Can you tell us a little bit how that came about? That's an interesting story. And again, more and more to your credibility of who you are and how expansive you are.
Well, I guess I've done so many things, and over the years of my adult life, I've gotten away from jewelry sometimes, and I always end up going back to it, or I never get too far away from it. Like even when I met John, when I moved to Seattle, and I met John there back in the early 90s. You know, I grew up not only in the jewelry business, but my dad always had a boat too. And I love being on the water. I don't like being in the water. I like being on the water. And John had a boat and when we met, and he loves boating, and we were just kind of driving around and touring different places, and we went to this little place called Point Roberts, Washington, and it's a very unique place. It's like an island. It's you can only get there by water without leaving the U.S. If you go by land, you have to go through 25 miles of Canada. You remember, Mary, you were there. And,
I was there.
We went there for the day. John spent a few years living in Canada, in Vancouver, and so we had friends up there. And we were with our friends, and they met us in this little place called Point Roberts, and it's a beautiful remote place, 900 full-time residents, and they had this gorgeous marina with, like, you know, 2,000 boats and no yacht broker. So we're like, well, why don't we, you know, we both knew a whole lot about boats, having been on them most of our lives. So we're like, well, why don't we start a yacht brokerage business? So we went back to Seattle and we started the yacht brokerage business. And then we were there maybe 6 months in a little office on Lake Union. And then we decided to move lock, stock and barrel up to Point Roberts. And
that's how that came about. And, you know, what's interesting is you stayed with your jewelry roots, because wasn't it called Diamond Yacht Brokers?
Absolutely, yeah. I wanted to call it Emerald Yacht Brokers because that's my birthstone, but that was already taken. Some other broker down in Seattle had that, so we called it Diamond Yacht Sales. When we used to sell a boat, I used to put together gift baskets for my customers, for our clients, and I put a bottle of wine in there, and I do glass engraving too, hand engrave, and I used to do a portrait of the boat that they bought and put the name of the boat on there, and I would give them that in the basket, and I'd throw, you know, coffee in there and chocolates, and I would also do keychains with floats on them and put their boat name on there. And so I kind of kept my fingers in that.
You sure
Definitely.
Did. And, you know, that's all about the customer relation. That's building relationship with your customer and letting them know that they're important to you far beyond the sale. And that's what's made you stand out, that your customers are friends. And they are more important to you, far beyond the sale. I know you're getting involved now doing a blog about your travels in the RV and et cetera. And I'd love to have you back, Dee, to talk a little bit to us about that. We only have about a minute left of the show. So how does somebody get in touch with you? I know through your website, is there a direct email that somebody can email you when they want to buy a chain?
Yeah,
how does that work?
There's email right on the website, comes directly to me. If they have any questions, you know, if they want to buy something, that's wonderful. But if they just have a question in general, I'm more than happy to have conversations with them. They can just email me anytime, or they can subscribe. I think there's a subscribe button on there too. But yeah, they can. It's right on the front, right on the homepage.
I encourage my listeners to subscribe to your blog there on the jewelry site to learn a little about jewelry. I know you're going to be writing about some interesting things and keeping people informed. It was such a delight to have you on the show today, Diane, and I hope that you'll come back to talk about other things.
Oh, I would love to, anytime.
That's wonderful.
I'm just kind of hanging out here on the river.
Like a lot of us. But thank you for joining me today on What If You Just Imagine. And if you're looking to contact me, you can contact me through maryanswersnow@gmail.com. And in the meantime, have a beautiful week. Go out and buy yourself a piece of wonderful jewelry. It does a lot to uplift you and to put a smile on your face. And when next time you think jewelry, think vinsjewelry.com. Bye-bye and have a great week. Bye, Dee.
Bye, Mary. Thanks for having me.